Welcome to Amplified. We're the show that will help you take your message, whatever it may be, and get it out through social media, networking, and other marketing channels. Maybe even some that you've never thought of. Whether you're an organization, small or large business, or you just have the next positive message that's sure to go viral, you'll want to stay tuned this hour. Now, here's your host, Ken Rashawn.
Welcome to Amplified. We are still moving along in 2020, making this the best decade ever. So I was just in Arizona and Florida and meeting just some amazing people. Dr. Ivan Meisner having his 35th anniversary of Business Networking International, BNI, with his 250,000 live members. And we are all good to go. So how are you doing, Andrea?
I'm hunky dory back from wherever I was. Where was I? Mexico, Belize. I stopped and did a tour through Florida and saw many of our business friends and acquaintances so that we can really be on the game for 2020. So super exciting year ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what, I am redoing some nonsense because I met with Lorenzo Hickey and he's a big nonsense fan. And he brought to my attention something that I didn't know was happening. There are a lot of people choosing to do a sex change and then doing a double sex change. So it's really hard to keep track of, you know, who they are and where they are in life. So really, really cool stuff happening.
Well, I'm so glad that Lorenzo's on board with a nonsense book because, you know, nothing warms my heart more than hearing your nonsense book on nonsense. It makes me so happy.
Well, he's got a Phoenix Rising book coming out, and it's going to be about empowered women in Arizona. And then he has an Arizona Leaders book. We're going to have that beautiful Arizona flag on the front cover. So Lorenzo was quite the host. Really enjoyed spending time with my brother. And, of course, it really talks about the power of connection because we were at an event, a couple years ago, and we just happened to be walking by another event going on to the airport, and it was Driven, and you met Lorenzo and said, you got to meet this guy. And just in a little 5-minute conversation, all of these big things have happened since then. So we have a great guest today talking about the power of connection and focusing on the LinkedIn experience. So let's go ahead and introduce him and bring him on.
Oh, fabulous. Well, we have Ted Perdomo. And Ted, I've known Ted for maybe 12 years now, and he is America's leading LinkedIn coach, and he is the best-selling, award-winning author of The Ultimate Guide to LinkedIn for Business and The Ultimate Guide to Twitter for Business. He's also a speaker, an author, an online advertising consultant, and he generates leads for his clients using Google AdWords and Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and other social media platforms. He also teaches online and in-person classes on LinkedIn, Twitter, and online advertising. And in his past life, he used to work for high-tech companies like IBM, DEC, and Cellular One before starting his own consulting firm in 1999. So now he's the founder of Search Marketing Simplified, which is a full-service online marketing agency. And he designs and implements advanced LinkedIn and social media lead generation strategies. So, you know, really another thing about him, he's been working with the internet since 1991, way before Al Gore invented it.
That's pretty cool. Well, let's bring him on. Hey, how are you doing, Ted?
Good. Al and I are old buddies, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not old enough and not good enough. I mean, what is it up with the fact that Al Gore takes all the credit and doesn't give you any of the credit?
I know, really. What's up with that?
So I had a big question for you.
On the bandwagon after it was already rolling.
Well, I think the biggest question of the hour, and I'm sure a lot of audience members after hearing, you know, your introduction, want to know this, and I think the show is going to be all downhill from here, but how do you fit in online and offline teaching and coaching at the same time? That's incredible.
Well, over the years, I used to do the BNI thing. I did all the local networking events long time ago, and it was okay, and then the economy tanked in 2008, and like, literally our groups disbanded because all the businesses went out of business, literally.
Mm. Yeah.
That's when I really went back to the online, embraced that, and now I'm kind of shifting back to doing more offline networking. I'm finding people really want a face-to-face connection. This virtual connection is not really working.
Yeah, of course, because when you're actually hanging with somebody, there's so many other things that are happening. You're catching their body language, you're going into more in-depth conversations, and you're also figuring out, I think, on a deeper analysis, how you can connect them to other people, and that happens virtually best from an offline experience.
Exactly. Nothing like shaking someone's hand and actually exchanging business cards. But some people still do that. It's amazing.
Well, I'll tell you, you're talking to one of the queens of turning the business card into a selfie and connecting people right out of the gate. I mean, I've met so many people because of Andrea's prowess of meeting amazing people and then making that connection directly to the Keep Smiling Movement or to leaders in the Keep Smiling Movement. And what happens is that really cements her as the giver, the connector, and it also gives them value, and it also has her the one that's talked about as a publicist or a person that really is good at connecting people. So let's talk about your journey, your beginning, when you came basically into childhood. Was there something in childhood that said, hey, I love people, I want to do something in my life that has to do with bringing people together?
No, actually, it was, I used to take things apart at home and make my mother really mad. I'd take things apart and put them back together. I'd take a radio apart and put it back together, or start playing with the TV, and she's like, stop it. And that's how I got into, actually, the computer industry. I was fixing computers in the 1980s, just as they were rolling out into offices.
Oh, cool. So you have kind of a reverse engineering mind, so that's how you're able to help people really dive into getting their goals or their strategies in place for LinkedIn. Is that kind of correct?
Yeah. I kind of apply. I like doing stuff with my hands, but I also like solving problems. So I was fixing computers in the early 80s, and then computer networking was being invented. I was learning that. Digital Equipment Corporation was one of the involved with creating internet and ethernet. So I was learning networking as it was being developed. And then I got into Cellular One when they had 40 employees way back when we had, like in San Francisco area, I think we had 5,000 subscribers. Hmm. So I've kind of got this knack of getting in at the beginning of all these trends.
And what do you attribute that to? How do you sniff that out?
I think it's just a lot of it's intuition, and just it all started back. Actually, my mother said when I was like less than a year old, I was on the doctor's office. He has a big scale, which is basically where they'd exam table. And I started taking apart the scale. So it kind of started there. I just kind of have a knack of figuring out how things work and how people work. So if your computer's not working, I could figure that out. If your relationship's not working or you're not getting enough leads, I kind of can see where the problems are in your sales funnel.
And where were you born?
Back in Pennsylvania, Warren, Pennsylvania.
Oh. And how long did you spend most of your life there? Where do you live now?
No, I live in San Francisco. Once I finished school, I moved to California when I was 21 because the jobs in the computer industry were in Boston or Silicon Valley at the time.
Like, and San Francisco,
I mean, that's Silicon Valley.
Well, San Francisco, I mean, it's such a cheap place to live. I mean, you barely even have to work there and everything's just handed to you. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is it the number two most expensive
area? Silicon Valley was just getting started. It was wild because you drive around and there weren't that many buildings yet. And they actually had big display boards outside. They weren't electronic. The old put the letters in the board kind of thing. It says, we're looking for these kind of engineers. And you could literally walk in with your resume, hand it to the receptionist, and you'd have a job within 24 hours.
But isn't it true, San Francisco is the number two most expensive place to live right now in the U.S.?
Oh, we could be number one now.
It might be number one.
Out of control.
Yeah. Well, that really says a lot about you really having high standards, that you're actually with all the people that could actually afford, to even get in the backseat of a Lyft and Uber driver. Forget about a limousine.
Right.
So we were on the phone. We had a show a couple weeks ago with Perry Marshall, who claimed he was the most expensive consultant in the world. And I told him that, thanks for telling me that, because I'm going to raise my rates and be higher than him. But I was going to be the most expensive, but no one's hired me yet, so I'm not going to really claim that I'm the most expensive consultant at this point. So when you do this work for people, how expensive and what is the ROI that people can kind of expect when they're having these problems of connecting with the right people?
Well, it's hard to measure the ROI because everybody has different markets.
Right.
Perry was my actually very first mentor when I got into this online world, so we're good friends.
Oh, cool. Oh, wow.
So I know Perry well.
Yeah, Perry's cool. He's so cool. So, let me take the question a little different direction. So people have their business is challenged and they have a need for more sales or more connections that are going to lead to sales. What is it that you do for them that allows them to be successful or shifts things for them?
So ever since I got into Zoos, gosh, about 2001, I went to my first internet marketing conference. There was a free lunch, actually. They said a free, they send you a postcard that says, hey, you want to learn how to set up an online business? You get a free lunch. So my friend and I are like, hey, I like free lunch. Mm-hmm. We went to this thing. And we ended up buying an online store at the time. But everything, especially in the beginning of the internet marketing world, the early 2000s, people were ripping people off blindly. It's like they would teach you, set up your web page, sell this ebook for $1, and down at the bottom of the page, you make the print so small and it blends in with the background so you don't see that you're going to be charging them $37 a month for ongoing membership.
Yep.
Like, that's not legit. I just couldn't do that. So I kind of, from that point on, I kind of said I was the anti-internet marketer. I'm going to be honest and give people real value. And it's paid off because I'm still doing it 20 years later.
That's awesome. So, Andrea, I know that you had a couple questions. Go ahead and bring it on.
Okay. Well, Ted, you and I met years ago. James Malinchek wrote the foreword for your One LinkedIn book. And we met at his events. I think 2007 is when I started going. So that's how long we've known each other. So in those years, I followed your LinkedIn pattern. And within 5 months, I had had 30,000 connections. I now have almost 33,000 people follow me. So I wanted to first let people know that obviously your stuff works.
Hey, you actually did what I told you to do, too.
Yes. So now the second half is what I need to do is figure out how to monetize these relationships, because obviously I love people and I connect with them well. And I want to be able to make their part of the relationship even better for their businesses where they're monetizing the relationship by working with me. So that's the direction I'd love to see is how you are really making people be able to see that in some certain ways.
I think it comes back to my old days of going to those BNI meetings. You know, every Friday morning at 7 a.m., you met people in person and you had conversations with people. And then we'd have our little breakout meetings. We'd meet at Starbucks or a local coffee shop and have conversations. What's happening on LinkedIn, for some reason, they think when you're online, you can just blast messages at people. They're not humans at the other end.
Right.
Kind of like, buy from me, buy from me, buy from me until someone buys. And then you don't care if the other people are ignoring you. So it's kind of the new version of cold calling or robocalling even. So I teach all my clients and students, pretend you're sitting at Starbucks with a person one-on-one having a conversation. What would you say to that person? You don't walk up and say, hey, I'm Ted, buy from me. No, you get to know them.
We're going to start doing that. Ken and I are going to do that now.
Well, you go to conferences and you go to networking events and people do come up to you. They start pitching you the minute they meet you.
They do.
Yep. Well, you and I do have something in common, Ted. You know, you were slighted by Al Gore for helping him invent the internet. And a lot of people don't know this about me, but I was the one who told them to drop the in the LinkedIn. So when they first came out, it was the LinkedIn, and now it's just LinkedIn because I had told them. So kind of a big deal.
I knew I read that somewhere.
So LinkedIn's been around a while. Would you mind sharing briefly the history and the transformation of LinkedIn, and then we're going to move to what's so different about it now? And just take a couple minutes to share that, please.
Yeah, Reid Hoffman was one of the founders, and he saw it as an opportunity to online networking site, online networking. And what's interesting is, like, through the 80s and 90s, when I was doing the computer industry and Cellular One, we had Rolodexes on our desk, those old things where you literally, you had business cards and you rolled it to the S's to find an S, you know, somebody with their last name S. So Reid Hoffman's idea was make that electronic. Because what happened in 2000, 2001, after the dot-com crash, I had a Rolodex of 20 years worth of really good contacts. But back then, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't even have personal email yet. So when all these companies went out of business in Silicon Valley, my Rolodex was useless because the companies weren't there. I couldn't get a hold of these people. So LinkedIn became my Rolodex, and I reconnected with a lot of my past networks because of that.
Cool.
And you remember the first days of LinkedIn, it was like, fill out this form. Basically, you go through a little wizard, and you put your resume online. And then you don't log in for a year because you're not looking for a job.
Right. It was like the antisocial, it was like a recruiting tool. And if you weren't in the recruiting business, it was kind of just something to do for a day and then not do it again because you didn't need a job, right, as you said.
So over time, they've made it more interactive. And the last 3 years since Microsoft took over, it's exploding. People are actually, they're logging in every day or at least once a week. Or even just a year ago, 70% of people only logged in once a month or less. Pretty amazing. There was no reason to log in.
Do you attribute that to Facebook actually becoming, I guess, too social and ineffective for business, and then Instagram kind of being their focus, and so there needed to be a company that was really dealing more with the business conversation?
It's amazing because my friend Alex Mondosian, he lives by me, so we get together for coffee, and he describes LinkedIn as a library where everybody's really quiet and polite. But you see that same person go to Facebook a minute later, and they're like at the playground. They let their hair down, and they're saying all kinds of really inappropriate things or attacking people. So... And it describes it really well because, you know, LinkedIn is like, if you post your vacation photos on LinkedIn, people start calling you out in the comments. Say, hey, that's Facebook stuff. Get out of here with that. So it's kind of neat the way they police that.
That's cool. So Alex Mondosian has his Keep Smiling book coming out in, I guess, about a month or so. So that's so cool that we'll send you a copy of that soon. And that way you can take it to him for tea or coffee and give it to him as a gift.
Yeah. That'll shock him.
I mean, that'll save us shipping to him. We can just ship it to you instead.
There you go.
All right. So the beginning of the decade, and people are overwhelmed in communications coming to them on their phone, Messenger, WhatsApp, all this kind of stuff. How do you recommend people take on 2020 so they're actually managing their time to have the most effective conversations that lead to sales, abundance, and a balanced life?
So what I do, kind of like you, we're having fun on this call. LinkedIn can be a boring library, or we can have fun with it. So I try to do short messages. You know Dean Jackson? Famous email marketer, brilliant marketing guy.
Know him.
So if you search Google for Dean Jackson 9-word email, he just sends a short message to people, 9 words or less, and asks a question. And it just, if people are interested, they reply. Like I'm speaking in Denver next week, so I'm going to do a all-day mastermind day the day before. So I sent a message to my list and some people on LinkedIn that live in Denver. I said, hey, I'm doing a one-day mastermind in Denver next week. Would you like to join me? And I got 12 people signed up within 2 days.
Nice.
So just ask a simple question. Don't sell. It's just, hey, are you interested in this? Or are you still using LinkedIn to get clients? People always say, oh, I was doing it and it worked, but I stopped doing it. Like, well. So those cool. short so little interactions.
And what are some, I guess, hacks, or are there apps that you can use in conjunction with LinkedIn that help facilitate this being easier?
Well, you have to be careful because LinkedIn doesn't like you to use third-party automation. And if you use any tools that are a Chrome browser-based extension, mm-hmm. they're on to that now, and they will shut down your account.
Mm.
And
one client, he was sending 500 invitations a day through this automation. 500! Like, that's really? Do you need that many people in your network?
Well, they might if they're only selling them something, so only 1% of them are actually even reading it, the rest delete.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. I try to teach people, it's really person to person. So you meet someone in person, what are you going to say to them? And they don't know what to answer. Like, are you kidding me? So on LinkedIn, I get probably 30 to 50 invitations to connect every day. And probably three out of four of them are basically, hey, I noticed we have something in common. Let's connect. And then they say, I can help you buy. And they start pitching me in the invitation.
My goodness.
One guy said, let's connect so I can send you a survey. I'm like, what? Why would I connect with you if you're going to start pitching me and selling you surveys?
Yeah, that's crazy. So I'd like to take a couple minutes to just discuss for the person who may not be on LinkedIn, or they are fed up with the fact that they haven't had an ROI from or an ROE from all their time that they spent on LinkedIn. Let's pretend someone's starting fresh and they're going into LinkedIn. What's the approach someone should do about joining groups, who they connect with, who they accept?
So the first thing I teach people is to optimize their profile. Because every day, LinkedIn is showing your profile to thousands of people through the algorithm based mm-hmm. on where you went to school, what industry you're in, what company, just all those factors that are in your profile. On the sidebar, it says people also viewed on a lot of accounts. And then also, when you connect with somebody under My Network, it says you may also know these people. So your profile picture, your name, and your professional headline show up in front of thousands of people every day. So if you optimize that and make it focused on them instead of you, client-centric, we call it, people say, oh, I want to learn more about how Ted can help me with LinkedIn. And then they read my profile. The About section, I teach to tell a story. Don't repeat your experience there. Talk about a story, like the inside flap of a book. That's basically going to tell you more about the book, so you want to buy the book. So your About section should be about the same way.
Gotcha. Well, I'll tell you an interesting hack you might want to add for your mastermind in Denver. I find someone that I really admire, like you, and I just copy-paste all your content in your profile, put it in my profile, remove all the stuff I had, and just keep my photo and my name the same so that I really come across as a LinkedIn expert. It's worked really great for me.
I've seen that many times.
You know what, Ken? I bet that gets that person to reach out and talk to you right away.
And by the way, Ted, you have me to thank. I've been filling out your surveys left and right. I have so many people that ask me to fill out surveys, and I'm like, happy to, and I put your name in it. That's the only time I give you the credit, all right? So
I'm glad you're making money off my profile.
Hey, you know, copying's flattery. And I just wanted to be on the air and tell you thank you.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody's looking for hacks and shortcuts. Like, I'm just going to steal this from someone. Like, well, good luck.
All right. Well, how do people connect with you on LinkedIn and also to learn more about the books you have and your programs?
My website's yourlinkedincoach.com. And there you can find my LinkedIn. LinkedIn is Ted Prodromou, Prodromou. And there are two people on LinkedIn called Ted Prodromou. One guy works at Google. Yeah.
So you already found me.
San Francisco. And the funny story is, years ago, some guy kept coming to our door, knocking on the door, says, "Is Ted home?" And my wife, I was traveling. And my wife said, "He's not home. What can I help you?" And he'd walk away. He did it like three nights in a row. And finally, she followed him down the street and says, "Why do you want Ted so bad?" Because I'm here to repossess his Buick. Like, we don't own a Buick.
That's funny.
The other Ted Pedro was getting his car repossessed, and he kept harassing me.
Now, do you have any groups that you started on LinkedIn? And are groups a great thing to start when you're just getting into LinkedIn?
You know, groups, you know, the old internet marketers, they find something that works and then they kill it by overusing it.
Right.
People are just blasting messages to groups and there's no interaction in most groups. So I don't spend a lot of time in them anymore, but there are some people that are doing really well with groups, but it's tough. You get literally some groups have a million people and you'll look and see all the new posts every day, hundreds of new posts and not one comment, like, or share.
But with a group as an admin, you have the ability to download the email addresses. Is that correct?
Nope, not anymore. You can't even email your entire group anymore as an admin.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's pretty hot.
So they've really taken away. They don't want people marketing to the groups, so they made it almost impossible.
Yeah, that would make it pretty impossible. And, you know, considering a lot of it was probably spam anyway, it was probably the right thing to do. But unfortunately, it also wastes a lot of the time people had filtering and creating a group that was, you know, really about the topic and wanted more value. So that's unfortunate.
Yeah, the moderators, they set up these groups and they grew organically, and then they would harvest all the emails and start messaging these people offline and add them to their email list. So LinkedIn wants to preserve the quality of their user experience.
Makes sense. Andre, did you have another question?
I have a call with I have like two LinkedIn contacts, and I have a conference call with them today of actually to talk about Sales Navigator and their future of LinkedIn ads.
Oh, well, I'm glad to know that, because that is my question, is about Sales Navigator, because I never was premium before, and I am premium now, and because I'm doing some high-end sponsorship stuff, and I am finding that the old search engine that was so easy for me is no longer there, so I'm finding it a new path. So we have to go on break, though, so I wanted to thank our sponsors. Our sponsors are the Keep Smiling Movement, the Umbrella Syndicate, the Red Carpet Connection, and Hit Check, and of course, Voice America. And we'll be back after these messages.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The Umbrella Syndicate amplifies good causes, good people, and good messages. They offer a suite of services that help people and businesses gain better exposure. Through working with the Umbrella Syndicate, you gain the ability to reach an audience of 50,000 unique people a week. They have recently reached over 20,000 followers on Facebook. You can view their photography and how they use it as a strong promotional tool on their Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/TheUmbrellaSyndicate. Show them your support by liking their page.
The Voice America Live Events channel is here now to showcase your corporate, individual, or organization's live event. Visit voiceamerica.com/live events to see all of our past live events and find out more. Whether it's a multi-day conference, special speaker, or single-day event, we've got everything to make your event a success. We can do a few hours or a few days. For more information about taking your event to the next level, call Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417 or email info@voiceamerica.com. Again, that's Jeff Spinard at 480-294-6417 or send us an email to info@voiceamerica.com. Voice America is where you are and where you want to be. Join us around the globe as we broadcast live from some of the most interesting events available. Don't forget to view all our live events, including on-demand access to past events that you may have missed, by visiting voiceamerica.com/live events.
tune in to the Voice America Variety channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Amplify. To reach the show today, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. We also would love to hear from you via email to info@umbrellasyndicate.com. Now, back to Amplify.
Welcome back. I'm Rashawn on Voice America with our sponsors, the Red Carpet Connection, Umbrella Syndicate, and of course, the Keep Smiling Movement. And we had a lot of calls coming in during our break saying, hey, there's a lot of fluff in that first segment. I'm not going to listen unless we get the meat of LinkedIn in the second segment. So we had to redo our entire show. Our script was completely thrown out. And so everything you're going to hear is all meat. So first of all, Ted, why did you become a vegetarian?
I like that fake meat there.
All right. So the questions are obviously going to be at more advanced levels. So I'll be using verbs in this particular part of the segment. And I want you to feel free to really take it to a master's level. Assume some of these people are coming in to the masterminds to learn how to really take their business, not just to the next level, but to be at a pinnacle standard of being found on LinkedIn, as well as having the right conversations that lead to more efficient and power sales. So let's start off with, I guess, the limitations. How many connections can you have? And I know we were talking a little earlier about the amount of followers, and that got a little confusing to me. So can you break that down, please?
Yeah, you can have 30,000 direct connections. So I sent you an invitation and you accepted, or vice versa. Now, once you hit that limit, people have to follow you. So it's kind of like Facebook. Once you hit 5,000 connections, people have to follow you or go to your page.
Okay.
So it's the same thing there.
Okay. And so if someone has 30,000 connections and 30,000 followers, is that 60, or how does that math work?
No, you can have 100. You can have a million followers.
Okay.
Like celebrities, or not really celebrities on LinkedIn, but thought leaders like Bill Gates and people like that.
Okay, so let me ask it a different way. If you have 30,000 connections, you could have 10 followers? Could you have it that low? Is that possible?
Well, if you have 30,000 connections, you have 30,000 followers, and then people can follow you outside of that.
So you're automatically
they can follow your content that you post.
Got it. Okay, so once you hit 30,000, do you open up another account? Is it allowed to open up another account? I know a lot of people do that on Facebook.
No, you can't have two accounts on LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's against their terms of service, but you could. They're not going to stop you unless somebody reports you. I have a lot of people that work a full-time job, and they're starting a business on the side, a side hustle. Mm-hmm. You say, hey, should I set up a second account for that? I was like, well, if somebody searches for your name and they see two different accounts of the same person, they're going to be confused.
Okay.
Like, you know, when you hire an expert, you want that person to be an expert, not someone that's juggling two or three different careers.
Sure. And that was my point. If you're in the corporate world and then you also have your entrepreneur hat on, it can get a little confusing if you're putting both of them on one account too. So that's why I was asking that.
Yeah. Yep. It's tough to juggle that one.
So it's just better to keep one profile and have it robust, but use it the way you need to use it for I guess, growing your entrepreneur part when it's entrepreneur,
right,
and use it the other way when it needs to grow your career. Correct?
Right.
Okay. So there are people that are in the nonprofit space and we are certainly included in that now. And we are looking for brands that want to either align themselves, or they like the message and they have the opportunity for a tax write-off, or they like the value proposition and the mission of that particular cause. How does one kind of navigate LinkedIn to find perhaps the hotel partners, the airline partners, you know, all the expenses that you typically have as a nonprofit?
Yeah, they really watered down the search fields on the free version of LinkedIn. And they also limit you to a certain number of searches per month. Yeah. And then they want you to upgrade to premium.
And how much is premium?
The other... Go ahead.
I was saying, how much is premium?
It's about, gosh, I don't know. I'm grandfathered in. It's a really low rate, but it's about $50 a month, I think.
It's more than that.
And then the other one is Sales Navigator, is like $80 a month.
And that's unlimited searches? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Yeah, you can do a lot of search fields. Sales Navigator, you can search for people or companies. And then as you, it runs the search 24 hours a day. You can save those searches. So it's always looking for your ideal client.
Gotcha. Okay.
They still have limitations, though. I just upgraded, and there still are limitations. One of them is like InMail. And an offline tenant, I had talked about that. Ted, do you want to give that advice that you had given about the InMail?
Yeah. So InMail is basically a paid email you can send within LinkedIn. And for the premium accounts, depending what level you're at, you get like 5, 10, or 15 per month. But I never use InMail, because if I'm reaching out to people with Sales Navigator, if people have a premium account, they will accept your messages for free on LinkedIn. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is very cool. So if your search was to have Southwest as perhaps a partner, and you're kind of starting with, hey, I don't know who to even find, what would be the approach?
So within, let's say, Sales Navigator,
okay,
you can search for specific people and that work for that company, or you can search for companies that are in the nonprofit area. And you can do, you know, set the location if you want, just southwest of the U.S., Arizona, New Mexico, or whatever you want to search, or just search U.S. And then you pick job titles that you'd want to search, people that you'd want to have conversations with. And you can even do company sizes. So if you want small nonprofits or big nonprofits, there's lots of search fields within there.
So for 2020, what is your goal that is different than what it was in the past?
So what I'm trying to do is, I have this thing called Meniere's disease, which is a vertigo thing, an inner ear disorder. And it's gotten progressively worse over the last few years. So it's really hard for me to do as much traveling as I did and really work a 50-hour week like I was working. So I'm trying to work smarter, not harder.
And how are you going about that? What are some examples?
So I'm doing, I have a membership site now. So instead of doing a lot of one-on-one consulting and traveling, I'm trying to do more group coaching. So I'm really shifting my business model, because I physically just can't be on a plane all the time and traveling all over. I am doing a lot of speaking this year, but I'm really trying to be smarter about it.
And how do you overcome that, since you're obviously affected and you got a fly still? What do you do?
There's nothing, no solution to it. Just kind of, I go to a chiropractor. I do really try to watch what I see. Today I woke up and it's raining here and my ear is totally plugged. So I just have to deal with it. I'll go to the chiropractor later today. He does this adjustment and hopefully it helps.
That's wild.
Pretty interesting. I can't bike ride anymore. I can't do a lot of anything related to balance, long hikes. Hmm. It's really frustrating.
I bet. Well, I will be
so
praying for you.
Like, one example I'm doing with Sales Navigator, I teach Sales Navigator training. And usually big companies like Fortune 500 companies have in-house trainers, and they'll do most of that training. So what I do is I search LinkedIn for a company that has a sales team of 5 to 20 sales reps, So you can actually put that in there. How big is that department? Then you can also put in criteria if that department is growing. So if you are looking for companies with a sales team of 10 to 20 people and they're growing 25%, you can actually put that in Sales Navigator, and then it reaches out and says, hey, here's 1,000 companies that meet that criteria. Then I'll start finding the sales managers and reaching out to them with messages.
So can you,
the first message would be, is your sales team using Sales Navigator? The old Dean Jackson question. If they say yes, I say, hey, would you like to learn more about it? Or I have a whole script set up that'll take people from, hey, you need help with Sales Navigator, here's how I can help you.
And tell me a little bit of how you do help them.
So I'll do, some people want me to come on site and train them for a day. Some people want to do like 1 hour a week, you know, during their sales team meetings. They want, or some people just want videos. So everybody wants it their own way, of course.
Sure.
But it's easy to do these days. You know, I can do an online Zoom call, or I can do recorded videos.
So if we were thriving because we do Keep Smiling Mixers in different cities, and we wanted to use LinkedIn to find the movers and shakers, as it were, and perhaps the authors and speakers that reside in that city, is that a way to really build those mixers?
Yeah. If you're doing local events, connect with everybody that's attending those, then the LinkedIn algorithm says, here are more people like the people you just connected with. The algorithm does all the matching for you. It's like Match.com, right?
Right. Yep. That's very cool.
Put in your profile.
Ed, have you gotten some proposals like that? I have. I was shocked that I got them on LinkedIn. I'm like, no, wrong match, guys. LinkedIn.
Right. I'm looking for business. No one's ever hitting on me on LinkedIn.
Oh, you're just not telling us about it.
I put a shirtless photo up there once and nobody bit. I tried.
All right. Well, go ahead, Andrea. I know you have another question related to the book.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ken. I couldn't help but on that one. Like right now, I just looked up. I was taking your advice right in the moment and doing this. So I'm reaching out to the guy to connect to him, and I realized you can still do the personal message. So you're saying that your script is like you just reach out to him like a normal person, say, hi, how are you doing? This is what I'm up to. And then to connect with them, is that how you do that? What's your like script or method for that without giving, you know, everything away?
Okay. So one I have fun. I sent out last week, I sent about 60 invitations out and I got 30 responded already. And I just said, LinkedIn keeps showing me your profile. So I take it as a sign we need to connect. And it's because I keep seeing their profile and the people also viewed or under my network, or it's just somebody I want to connect with because they're a sales manager in the right size department. And they, okay. The response is like, oh, LinkedIn's algorithm's pretty smart. They respond with good comments back. So it's a fun conversation. And it lowers their guard then because we're having fun instead of, hi, I'm Ted. I'm a Sales Navigator trainer. Want to buy from me?
Right. So with regard to engagement or getting people interested in you, video is the way to go. What is your recommendation there?
Sometimes videos. I got to do more videos because they get a great response. The native video, the upload directly to LinkedIn, works really well. Another feature that most people, LinkedIn's terrible about telling us what they have available. But if you're on your phone in the LinkedIn app, and I want to send you a message, I can send you a text message, but there's also a little plus sign there. And if you click on the plus sign, there's all these other options. So you can record a video right from your phone. To, hey, Andrea, thanks for connecting. I look forward to learning more about what you do in a video, and you send it right there. That is pure gold.
It sure is. And I was going to say, a friend of mine who's a videographer did a presentation last year, and he said he did a test of what a video would do on Facebook versus LinkedIn. And even boosting the Facebook ad with $10, the LinkedIn video outperformed it night and day. Like, it was like twice as much. And the engagement was over the charts higher too.
Yeah, LinkedIn people are there. They're in the business mindset. Business to business works best. Facebook, you know, who knows what they're there for? They're here to have fun or get into some debates about politics or I don't know. But, you know, their mindset is totally different on LinkedIn. And they have money to spend because most of them work for big companies that have budgets.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to have Andrea ask one more question. We're going to go to rapid fire.
Okay. Thank you. So, all right. So you said groups are out and email, don't bother with a long email. So my other question would be, you're talking about the pictures of people. So I have heard that we should do it with smiles because that shows that people trust and like you. Is that your recommendation as well?
Yeah, it's friendly, approachable smile.
Yeah,
Make sure the background is clear too, because sometimes people have a lot of distraction in the background of the picture. So it's just, you want them to see your face.
Well, I had a friend of mine that was using the Gump approach, and that is where you use zero muscles in your face and you look like you're just about to drool. And he said he was doing horrible on LinkedIn. So I think this advice is going to be very helpful for him.
Well, I show one profile. It's this guy who has this great smile, but he's got this red light shining on his face and a bright red background. It's like, God, if he had a good background. Then in his banner above, he's got a face just like you mentioned. It looks like he has a mugshot.
All right. So we're going to go ahead to rapid fire. And I have, I'm going to do something different this time because you got to step it up in 2020. So a book that changed your life and a business book that you would recommend to someone to read starting this year.
Oh, gosh. Perry Marshall's 80-20 Marketing is a game changer.
Ooh. Okay. So that's the one you recommend. Is that the one that changed your life too?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Andrea?
What is a song that gets you amped up?
A song that gets me amped up? Gosh, I'm such a nerd. I've like hardly listened to a lot of music anymore. I'm always listening to personal development stuff. My wife says, aren't you fixed yet?
So this next question is going to sound a little self-serving, but I promise you it's not. Why is our show considered your favorite show?
Because you like Al Gore, too.
All right. Hey, Andre, get that quote in our website as soon as possible.
I am. It's up already.
All right.
Good Pedromo sound bites.
Andre?
If you had a superhero power, what would it be?
Intuition.
Okay, so hopefully this is a comfortable one. Who's the most amazing person you've linked up with on LinkedIn?
Ooh, on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Wow.
And if you want to, you can give a shout out to two or three. If it's too tough to just do one.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of one person that I've connected with on LinkedIn that has made a huge difference. Vivica von Rosen. She's a LinkedIn expert, and we've become really good friends. We're technically competitors, but we're not.
Cool. Andrea?
What did you want to be when you were a little kid?
A football player. All and 5 foot 4 inches of me.
All right. And what is a movie that inspires you?
Oh, boy. I'm just thinking of all the bad movies I've seen lately.
Well, you know, while you're thinking, I just want to tell you, I think it's high time that they make the LinkedIn movie. They did The Social Network. I mean, everyone's really excited about it. The LinkedIn story.
No, it's like going to the library. It's pretty boring. Everybody's sitting there being polite. They didn't rip anybody off when they started LinkedIn.
No, they didn't. So maybe I'm going to actually not recommend they make a movie about it.
Yeah. It'd be really boring.
So do you have a movie that you love to either hit when you want to be inspired, or just a movie you'd like to share that makes you happy?
Oh, gosh. The Friday Night Lights movie, those kind of, those high school football movies always get me.
Cool. Rudy, Rudy. And by the way, Ted, I'm sorry I'm asking such hard questions. I know that these have been zingers, so I just wanted to tell you I'm sorry.
You're wearing me out, man.
Andrea?
All right, so you said that you are a self-proclaimed nerd or geek, computer geek. So what is a technology that you would love to have created?
You know, I've been in technology for 40 years, and there's like new stuff that comes out on the iPhones that drives my wife and I crazy. Like, I know how to do this stuff, and I can't figure it out anymore. So to make technology old people friendly. I'm not that old, but I feel really old. And then my kids come in like, oh, you do this to see? Like, oh, geez.
Well, I'm not going to let you down with a final zinger, but what is a quote that you like or live by?
Gosh, just really, it can be honest. I don't have a specific quote. My mother always says, just be honest in life, and they'll be fine.
You know, when I tell people that I lie, I tell them I'm telling you the truth. And so it's been a really tough thing to, you know, confess honestly that you lie all the time. Because it's like,
well it's Seth Godin's it. Book, all marketers are liars, and I'm a marketer, so I must be a liar. So I'm supposed
yes.
to be honest.
Seth Godin, right? All right. Yeah. Well, I'm going to, first of all, thank you, Ted, for spending an hour with us. And you gave us such great information. I look forward to seeing how we can create this into a Key Smiling book and chapter. And maybe we can make it the LinkedIn edition of people you want to know that, you know, cause and inspire smiles in the world. So that would be really kind of a neat project for us to do together. And I'm just very thankful that Andrea has met you 12 years ago, and we were able to bring this connection live on the show. And I'm wishing you a great 2020, Happy New Year. And I'm going to have Andrea just give a shout out to our sponsors.
Yes, again, thanks to our sponsors, The Red Carpet Connection, The Umbrella Syndicate, Keep Smiling Movement, and Hit Check, and of course, Voice America.
Thank you very much. Ted, have a great week, and we look forward to building something really powerful with you. Stay amplified.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's edition of Amplified. Be sure to join Ken Rashawn
again next Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Now, go get your message heard.